Ever since the days of old, men would search for wealth untold. They dig for silver and for gold, and maybe empty holes. And way down south in the Everglades, where the black water rolls and the sawgrass waves, the eagles fly and the otters play in the land of the Seminole. So blow, blow, Seminole wind, blow like you're never gonna blow again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow, blow from the Okeechobee all the way up to Micanopy. Blow across the home of the Seminoles, the alligators and the dogs. Progress came and took its toll, and in the name of flood control, they made their plans and they drained the land. Now the glades are going dry. And the last time I walked in the swamp, I sat up on a cypress stump. I listened close and I heard the ghost of Osceola cry.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay. Find a way. It ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
Can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me, I'm free.
Yeah, I'm free. Hey. 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 Ion Plumber Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself there at shooting. He had plenty.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Okay, kind of an abrupt stop there, but welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Wednesday. No, it's Monday. It's President's Day, actually, the 20th of February. Got a little story on that here in a minute. We've got, hope everybody had a great weekend. We had fun. We were kind of busy. Had stuff to do. As I told you here a while back, let me get over here and make sure we have sound so I don't talk to myself here for 15 minutes and then find out I'm not talking to anybody. So, not getting any response. Let's see here. Let's see a show of hands. See what kind of sound we're getting here. Okay, got it. All right. You know, we started, I told you here, I don't know, what was it, a couple of months ago, that Amy and I have kind of started this new deal called Paragon Services, where it's, you know, it's not a construction company. It's not a, it's just services, different things that we do. Maybe a little bit of remodeling in a house, maybe a ditch dug somewhere, or, you know, Amy's got a couple of elderly ladies she takes care of in the summertime, and just various things that we do, and it's kind of fun. And here lately, she's been able to work with me in between classes and stuff, and we've had a little house that we're getting ready for a real estate, what do you call them, a property management company, to sell. And, you know, we kind of set our own hours and do our own thing, and it works out pretty well. So we've had fun here. Let me turn the sound off on this thing. There we go. All right, and as far as classes go, we're going to have some more of those coming up here. I've got to get busy and get some more scheduled here. So probably by Friday, by Liberty Lounge night, we'll have some new classes scheduled here. Actually, we do have one coming up. We haven't got a hard date yet set yet. It's going to be end of March or the first weekend in April. We've got a multi-state concealed weapons class coming up in Kingman, Arizona. And I know that'll be fun. We're going to try to get that done before it gets too cotton picking hot over there, because I won't be doing it in the summer. Well, I can too, because this class is done indoors. Doesn't require any shooting. So whoever has air conditioning is welcome to sponsor a class. It works for me. All right, like I said, this is President's Day. And thank you, Susie B. Appreciate that. She says it sounds tinny.
tinny. What is tinny? Why does it sound tinny?
It's small.
No, not tiny. Tinny. Let's see if I can change that here. All right, Susie B., listen up here. Let me turn that down a little bit and check and see. Let me turn this off. Okay. Now let me know if that still sounds tinny. I'm still learning this thing, and for as complex as it is, I'll probably be learning it for the rest of my life. So anyway, check that out and see if it sounds a little better. Okay, President's Day. You know, George Washington's birthday is on the 22nd, and Lincoln's birthday is on the 12th. And, you know, they didn't even recognize Washington's birthday until nearly 100 years after the Revolutionary War, 1870, that they recognized Washington's birthday as a national holiday. And then in 1968 is when they had the Monday holiday law. And then 3 years after that, by executive order, Richard Nixon created President's Day, which basically I always thought it was a combination of, instead of being off for Washington and off for Lincoln, they just created one and put it on a Monday so everybody was happy. Well, as it turns out, there's really no indication that Lincoln was included in that. Lincoln's birthday is still on the 12th, but they did this for Washington's birthday. And there are some people that just say the President's Day is for all presidents, which would really tick me off, because that would include Obama and Jimmy Carter and some of these others here. Oh, great. Amy just brought me some news.
Well, it's not my President's Day.
Oh, great. So who is their president, by the way? Okay, stand by here 1 second. Okay, I'm back. So they, anyway, some people think that it kind of takes away from George Washington's birthday is still on the 22nd, no matter what. It doesn't make any difference what president is. What they did, and I don't really have a problem with it, is they made it a three-day holiday. You know, the only thing I would have a problem moving is really is Christmas and Easter Sunday. I think they ought to put Thanksgiving on it. Well, no, not really. Thanksgiving's good on a Thursday. That's a four-day holiday. I was going to say Thanksgiving could move to that closest Monday, and always. But usually, most people get 4 days off for that. Some don't. They just get Thanksgiving Day, and then they got to go back work Friday, and then get the weekend off. But any of the rest of them, you know, that's fine. That's neither here nor there. We'll still celebrate Washington's birthday on the 22nd, just like we always have been. Okay, let's move on here to, you know, Amy just brought me a couple of deals here. And it says that where is this at? Oh, it's in several places. Activists who oppose President Trump say they expect thousands to hit the streets on today's President's Day holiday. Now, I haven't looked at the news today. I don't know if that happened or not. So maybe you guys can put something in the chat room for me there and let me know if that actually took place. But they were supposed to be in, it's not my President's Day. Idiots. Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, some other cities. Organizers said that while they acknowledge Trump is the president, his views are not in line with those of the majority of Americans. Well, I don't know about that. I think one thing that we found out, I think, in this last election, is maybe they're not quite as rigged as we thought, or maybe Trump just had such a tremendous amount of people that, even rigged as they were, they were still able to overcome it. So I think that it very much is in line with the majority of Americans, but the organizers credited social media for spreading news of the events. Well, that and this newspaper. So. another little interesting thing. Some of you may not know this, but you know the jaguars. Jaguars are native and, well, I guess native. They've been around here for forever. Southern Arizona, right on the Mexican border down there and down into Mexico. And they've got one missing here. I guess they had one in a pen or cage or compound or whatever. And it'd come up missing. But there's been several of them spotted down on the Mexican border. Arizona and up into Arizona a little ways. Did you have a...
We have a game.
Hold on, we have breaking news, Sona.
A game camera. Some guy was on a game camera. They had different game cameras. They could see the jaguar since 2001 walking by. They haven't seen him for a long time, and they're wondering lately.
Oh, okay. This was not a...
It's a wild animal.
This is not a captive jaguar. This is one that I guess they've been watching for a while with game cameras and everything. He's been under surveillance, but he's been missing for a while. So they're just wondering what happened to him. They call him El Jefe, the boss. All right, that's enough of that. All right, before we get going too hard here, let me, Radio Doc says there is rioting in Portland. So what is new with that, Tebow? So what? They riot in Portland every other weekend. It gets cloudy and they riot. Sun comes out and they riot. You know, the store closes and they riot. The river raises a little bit above normal and they riot. They close the street somewhere for construction and they riot. That's just Portland. So that it don't mean a whole lot to me, really. Let's see. Let me go down through the chat room here and see what's going on. All right. Yeah, Doc, you know, I agree 100%. I would have voted for pretty much anyone. But if Trump hadn't have been there, there'd have been no conservatives, no Republicans at all. I wouldn't have voted for anybody else. I would have voted against Hillary. I think that's just the way it had to be. You know, I keep talking about the cancer that's spreading here. It's people are. We try to get people to wake up and see what's going on. You know, they take these concealed weapons classes and stuff, and I'll see them, you know, a month later, 6 months later, a year later, and they're still not wearing a gun. Well, I've got it out in the car. So why did you take the class? Thank you, by the way, for the $75. But why? Just out of curiosity, why did you waste your time and mine to take this class? People are not taking this nearly serious enough. And on the other side of that, the flip side of that, is that there are quite a number of people that do carry guns that probably shouldn't. There's some that probably need a little bit of a little bit of coaching, you know, a little bit of training, a little bit of a little bit of help on some of the things they should and shouldn't do in safety and rules and laws and stuff like that. But anyway, here is this last class that I did. What was it? A week ago Saturday. That very day, there were. Well, it didn't happen on that day, but the 1 week preceding that Saturday, there's been 4 murders. So these weren't cop shootings. They weren't accidents. They were murders right here in Apache in Navajo County. One in Vernon, actually. 2 in Sholo and 1, I think, in Snowflake. All within a few days of each other. Well, in Phoenix, This was just in today's Arizona Republic. I don't know exactly what day it happened. But a Phoenix man refused to turn his bicycle over to a robber and got shot for his efforts. You know, it's one thing here in Sholo, in Vernon, it's one thing not to carry a gun, although we had four murders in a week. One claimed to be an accident, but I think they found that there was more to it than that. So, you know, you kind of understand in some of these rural areas why people don't. I don't understand why they don't, but some people do. But in Phoenix, Tucson, Albuquerque, Los Angeles, well, Los Angeles may be a little bit different as far as the laws go, but in these other towns, why in the world do you not carry? The likelihood is going up. It's going up a lot. This guy, the robber come up with a gun and demanded his bicycle, and he refused to give it up and was shot and killed for his trouble. The woman got away without being harmed, and the guy still hasn't been caught. So, and here's this is an older one. How old is this? Come out of the same paper, the same paper, just different date. What the heck? Where'd the date go? Well, anyway, it's not this weekend. It was prior. This happened in New York. Now, you know, we've known for a long time that New York has been pretty violent since the late 1800s. And it hasn't gotten any better. I think it's safe to say that it's gotten worse. Here's one where a man with a knife stabbed a 10-month-old baby in her stroller. She lived. She was rushed to the hospital and underwent surgeries in critical condition, but stable. And she survived it. But the gal, the babysitter, the nanny, was walking down the street with the baby at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in broad daylight. And this man come up from just a little ways from their house, and he said he just came out of nowhere and said the baby was hysterical, crying. She was crying, trying to gag for air. Or I think that's probably gasp for air, but that's not what it says. And this guy just come out of nowhere and stabbed this baby. And the nanny wasn't a whole lot of help. They said it didn't have a good description of it. The nanny was 20 years old, screaming for help, holding the baby. And apparently the little girl's father was very satisfied with the babysitter's performance and said they did that she saved her life and she's like a member of the family and everything. They did catch this guy. His name was Bernard Durr, 48 years old, man with a history of psychiatric problems, taken into custody a short time after the attack and held on attempted murder and other charges. So there you go. There's what's going on in some couple places around the country. There's Susie B. just put on the chat room there, for those of you that are not on the chat, 17-year-old stabbed and killed his twin brother. And that's unusual. Close to where she's at up in Washington yesterday morning. That's a little weird. Susie B., did that tinny sound ever go away? You didn't answer me here. I don't think that, or at least if you did, I didn't see it. No, you didn't answer me. So is it still tinny or is it better? Give me a sign. Okay. Well, let's move on. No, it's just about break time already. Let's go this one right here before we go to a break. This is This is a month old, 2 months old. But I hadn't heard about it. This was in Corpus Christi, Texas. And, oh, I see. We may have actually talked about this. Because the original story here is 2 years old. What's current right now is the fact that, this guy shot three cops. There's a no-knock raid. He had no idea what it was about. They were after, I think it was his son, and they threw a flashbang in there. He had no idea what it was, and with all that confusion and everything going on, he just went to blazing away. He shot three cops. And so just here in the last month or so, they have found him not guilty, free to go. He's been in jail for 2 years. And I'm sure it was a long 2 years, and I hate it for him, but, you know, there's been a precedent set now, and hopefully there'll be some changes in some of these policies. Okay, Zardo sounds like underwater, so let me see what's... let me see what my settings look like here. Let me turn that down a little bit. All right, check that out. Does that sound? Put it right there, even with the other one. Okay, let me know if that's any better there. If it's not, then I don't know what to tell you. I'll just have to get on the website here and see if I can figure out how to make this better. But for the time being, that's going to have to do. So let me know if you have any. I've only known of this one thing. Now I'm really pleased that this happened. I am not pleased that the cops got shot. Okay, that's not a good thing. But it's also not a good thing if they just busted into this guy's house. You know, the appropriate way to do it, unless there's some extenuating circumstances, is to knock on the door and say the police agency, whoever you are. And we have a warrant for somebody. Yeah, sure. Go send a couple of guys around back. Make sure nobody gets away. I get all that. I'm okay with that. But just to bust the door down at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, a lot of times it's even the wrong house. And what I don't understand... I don't have the every detail of the story. I don't have the report that was written. I don't know why the guy is still alive. He shot three cops. I don't know why they didn't kill him. I really don't. But he survived for whatever reason. And now has been completely exonerated of all charges and set free. So I'm not in his shoes. I hate to say this, but I say that with 2 years well spent under the circumstances. And for having set this precedent, I think this is going to go a long, long ways towards helping these people, these agencies, maybe review their policies a little bit. And I've never been a fan of no-knock raids. I absolutely detest no-knock raids, except under some circumstances. I can see it. Maybe if there's a, we know that there's hostages in there. We know that someone is about to be killed. You know, whatever. There's several things that I can see a no-knock raid for. But you would have to have some verified circumstances there that would allow that. So, at any rate, let's take a little break, and we'll talk some more about this stuff in a minute.
I'll be back.
Now, Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself there at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife. Paul the dog picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run there, run.
hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log, get his tackle lid back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
Grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go, and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. And Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell that to the bear. Then Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
The lights and the fireworks.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere. So many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, step right down. Baby, let your hair hang down.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Ow! Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey! Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Okay, we're back. I think our sound is still having a little problems here. I'll work on that through this next couple of days here and try to get this squared away for you. But the music and the other sounds are good, so Liberty Lounge won't be affected any. I've discovered some things here for Liberty Lounge, making it pretty smooth, a lot better now. So we've got some, we're going to do a little news blast here. We've got some things we need to catch up on. And here is a, oh, by the way, let me go back to the chat room. I think it was Radio Doc, yeah. Said where there may be an investigation of Love. Yeah, I mentioned that when we talked about the BLM guy that, and I said, wouldn't it be funny if it was Daniel Love? And it actually was Daniel Love. And I think that they are doing an investigation on him. And because of that, regardless of their findings, this may very well have an impact on the trials of our political prisoners in Nevada right now, the Bundys and maybe even the Hammonds and some of the other ones. With the fact that we've chained under the current administration here, I think there is a possibility that he may be indicted. It's long overdue, and from what I've seen of President Trump so far, if there were facts and evidence presented to him of things that he's done since Dr. Red's suicide in Utah and Bundy Ranch and the refuge and a great number of other things that Daniel Love has been involved in, if this was presented to Trump or to some of his newer staff members, cabinet members, I feel like there's a pretty good chance that he may be indicted, you know, or given more than just a slap on the back of the hand. So I'm really interested in this. I'm watching this pretty closely, see what's going to happen. Anyway, Vietnam robber? No, actually, Vietnam veteran got involved with a couple of robbers here. This was in Missouri, in Venice, Missouri. And evidently they thought this was easy pickings. You know, a Vietnam veteran, he's obviously, very late 60s, early 70s, somewhere in there. And, well, it says right there, 70 years old, 10 o'clock in the morning. And two guys tried to rob him, and he pulled his gun, killed one of them, wounded the other one, and... So we have another happy ending to the story. Said he pulled his gun, opened fire, and shot them both. And the police got multiple calls of gunfire in the area. And when they arrived, Billy Dickerson, 19 years old. You know, that's a shame about this. Is these kids, a lot of these people are, late teens, early 20s. And they die on the sidewalk somewhere for being making stupid-ass decisions. 19 years old, pronounced dead at the scene. His accomplice was gravely injured after being shot in the chest and the arm, transported to a local hospital, and once released, will be taken to the Madison County Jail, where he'll be held without... Now, this is in Missouri. The accomplice is going to be, even though he didn't hurt anybody, he's going to be held without bail and charged with first-degree murder. If he's convicted, he'll face up to 60 years in prison with no possibility of an early release. Now, what this, they confirmed that the Vietnam veteran was legally carrying his concealed weapon or anything, that the shooting will likely be deemed justified and they won't have any problems. But in Missouri, if they're in several other states, if you are involved in something and somebody gets killed as a result of your actions or just the fact that you're with them and you're the only surviving member, you're going to get charged for murder. If your buddy gets killed because you were doing something stupid, you are going to get charged with murder. Even though if you just stand around with your thumb in your, well, maybe if your hands in your pockets and not doing anything, but you were there and considered an accomplice and your buddy bites the bullet, buys the farm, then you're going to get charged with murder, first degree murder. So So that is a little additional incentive not to do stupid stuff, I think. Hang on a minute. All right, I'm back. Goodness. Let me go see. I saw something on the chat room there. Okay. Yeah, Zardoz, that would definitely be refreshing to see that. Well, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. You know, there was something else. I had been watching another story from way back. Well, we'll run across it here in a minute. There's this story's got a little different turn on it too. This was an Army Ranger fatally shot after breaking into a woman's apartment. I think I mentioned this one already. Forgot to delete it. But just real quickly, in case I didn't, Army Ranger was shot and killed as he broke into a woman's apartment in Columbus, Georgia. This was a week ago. They say Christopher Warden arrived at the Armor Landing. Yeah, I know we did talk about this. So anyway, got the wrong apartment. Woman told him to leave, and he didn't. And he wound up dying for his efforts there. So, oh well. It's one of those things, I reckon. You've heard of course, everyone's heard of Starbucks, but have you heard of this other Green Berets, Special Forces type dude? This coffee company that he's got, you know, Starbucks recently said they plan to hire 10,000 refugees. Well, that didn't go over too. Of course, it goes over, I guess, with the people that like Starbucks, but the majority of them didn't set too well with them. So, Starbucks CEO said that his decision. He says, we're in business to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. You know, that's all very, very, you know, very awesome there. But just get realistic. You're going to hire 10,000 illegal aliens to work at Starbucks. Do you really think that's good business? As a result of the news from Starbucks, there's been a whole bunch of them, lots of calls to boycott the company, as it should be. But Black Rifle Coffee Company, this is Evan Hoffer, former Green Beret and current CEO of Black Rifle Coffee Company, one of the most successful veteran-owned startups in America, decided to respond to Starbucks in a different way. He fired back with a pledge to hire 10,000 veterans. Yes, sir. He said, our mission has never changed. Spread the word, join the coffee revolution. Black Rifle Coffee, February 3rd, 2017. Since Hafer's bold statement, his company, which supplies coffee to tens of thousands of Americans, has received a lot of attention in the media. Independent Journal Review spoke to Hafer saying that he had about what led him to challenge coffee giant Starbucks. He said, excuse me. If the CEO of Starbucks is going to push press releases with a political agenda, I'll be the counterpoint. I'll be the conservative option. My intention isn't to defame Howard Schultz. Starbucks is a great company for its employees, but Schultz has openly said that he doesn't want the business of conservatives. I don't like his political agenda, so I'll supply coffee to the people that he doesn't want to. And I know Starbucks is hiring a PR company to defame Black Rifle. They're going to go after my company and tell people that I can't do what I said I would. They plan to do it through proxies with social media pundits and a few news outlets, and it just continues to get unraveled more about why people shouldn't do business with them. He said, I'm used to operating in impossible odds. I was a Green Beret in the invasion of Iraq. Statistically speaking, before the invasion, we were supposed to take significant casualties. I operated for roughly 4 years on the ground in Iraq, and I still have all my fingers and toes. When you can plan and conduct an operation overseas, everyone does the risk matrix, like, are you coming back? And not one time has the CEO of Starbucks ever operated within that risk matrix. Statistically speaking, the bet's on me. It's not on him. He said there's more about Black Rifle than just coffee. What people need to understand about Black Rifle Coffee is that a portion of the company is a veteran in entrepreneurial incubator. I've directly helped over 7 different businesses move through Black Rifle itself, then launch those businesses away from Black Rifle. We've been directly responsible for not only hiring, but creating the businesses that hire businesses. A big part of what I do throughout my week is consulting and helping other veteran-owned businesses at my expense. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars helping other businesses. I would almost guarantee that no other veteran-owned company that's as big as mine does what I do. I work with those businesses to make them economically viable and successful. He said, Black Rifle Company through brick and mortar has an expansion program with strategic partner 5-Eleven. You guys are familiar with 5-Eleven shirts, 5-Eleven pants and stuff. I'm wearing a 5-Eleven shirt right now as we sprecken. The 5-Eleven CEO is the former CEO of Panda Express and former COO of Taco Bell. 5-Eleven plans to open up 24 different shops in the next 2 years. That's it may be a different 5-Eleven. It doesn't. It's 24 different shops. Maybe that's not the same one. Because 5-Eleven is 5-11, and this is 5-11 with no dash. So maybe it's a different deal. Anyway, 5-Eleven plans to open up 24 different shops in the next 2 years, and we have other parties helping us to accomplish what we're intending to do. I'm targeting red states with the goal to do 600 stores in 6 years. Wow. The first phase will be putting Black Rifle into a lot of different businesses. The second phase is to have independent coffee shops. The third is our franchise model. Then he made it clear whose business he wants. He said, I want conservatives' business. I don't want liberals buying my coffee. I don't. There's a veteran-owned, veteran-operated conservative coffee shop, coffee option out there, and we can get to that hiring point of 10,000 veterans. 10,000 is less than 5% of the 230,000 employees or so working for Starbucks. Hafer finished his swinging open door for conservative Americans with conservative Americans behind me and Schultz wanting to actively forfeit his business. I'm stepping up to the challenge. I'll take that challenge. I'm openly conservative and I'll be the guy who supplies coffee to the people he doesn't want. So lots of comments on here proudly boycotting Starbucks. We'll be glad to boycott Starbucks. I hope other people will follow. Get ready to lock your doors, Starbucks. I like your endeavor and conviction. I will support and promote your brand. So I would encourage all of you. I don't drink coffee, but I may buy some of his coffee just to put back in storage just to have it. But I would encourage all of you to make it known to Starbucks that you'll never grace their doorways again if you're so inclined. Anyway, don't do it on my orders there, but anyway. I think that's pretty cool. I like that. I'm going to keep this story here. I'm going to keep an eye on this guy and see what's going on. All right, let me see what's happening to my chat room here. Something, yeah, there it goes. Okay. All right, got it. Let's see. Wow, well, it's already 10 till. Well, let's move along quickly. Here is a manager of a store. This was a California sporting goods store. Let's see, Big Five. Big Five Sporting Goods. Former manager of a California sporting goods store filed suit against her ex-employer, saying 2 years ago she was forced to sell a firearm to a customer she considered threatening. Now, under ATF rules, if the dealer has the option of, or not just the dealer, whoever's selling the gun to someone has the option of refusing that, regardless of whether the background check come back clean and everything. If you think that person, if you heard them say something, or you get a feeling for some reason that that this person, you're not comfortable with selling a gun, you have the option of not doing it. Where when you don't have to give them an excuse, you don't have to do anything. You can tell them, hey, you know, I called and they didn't pass you, so you do whatever you want. She said this guy was threatening, didn't want to sell him a gun. Lawsuit says Big Five Sporting Goods reprimanded her for refusing to release a shotgun to a belligerent customer who had been acting erratically and making abusive remarks toward her and others in the store. So, anyway, they said he just kept getting increasingly hostile. She'd worked there for 8 years. According to the lawsuit, customer entered the store in January 2015 wanting to buy a shotgun, yet due to the late hour, only had time to administer a state-required safety test rather than completing the sale. Well, she got in trouble for that. Guy returned 2 days later telling her that he just wanted to buy any crappy old gun and selected a 12-gauge shotgun. But as he filled out the required paperwork, he asked a friend to help him, which is also a no-no, absolutely a no-no. And the manager informed him that he was not legally allowed to ask for assistance for the documents, and the customer became agitated, but eventually completed the paperwork and left. The man returned the next day, but accused realtors of selling him the wrong gun. As she offered to exchange the item and reprocess the paperwork, the man became irate and stormed out. So, anyway, let's see, after the 10-day required waiting period, a man returned near closing time to pick up his shotgun, but she told him that she would be unable to complete the transaction because there's not enough time to complete both the state-required demonstration of the shotgun and the transfer. So she asked him to return the next day. He shouted some expletives, and he says, "It's my property. I paid for it. You need to give me my gun." At that point, the manager and others in the store tried to calm him down. He got more aggressive and got really abusive with his language. I can't repeat all of this, but said she was concerned that the customer had brought in live ammunition for the exact firearm he was about to pick up. The next morning, she called Big Five's corporate firearms department to inform them about the customer and her suspicions that he brought in live ammunition for the gun. Department head ignored her concerns and instead offered to call the customer and ask about the ammo. Department head also suggested they arrange for another manager to release the shotgun to the customer. So, anyway, it's it goes on and on. This guy kept coming back and kept being more abusive and more hateful towards her. Anyway, the lawsuit cites against Big Five cites 4 counts of wrongful termination and labor law violations. She's seeking damages for lost wages, employment benefits, mental and emotional damages, punitive damages, and repayment of legal fees. I see no problem with that. Said she reported the incident to Human Resources, saying she feared violence from the customer who now had a shotgun and a grudge against her and knew her place of work, and requested to work at another location, but her request was immediately denied, so she resigned on February 7th, 2015. So, interesting stuff. Tebow, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll buy some Black Rifle coffee and send it to you, and I may buy it and send you some and pour it out on the ground or put it in for whatever, but I think I'm going to buy some anyway just because I think this is a very good idea. Let's see, you've got 5 minutes left. I haven't got time to do any rest of these stories. I know I told you about Jerry Brown, the moron, the governor of California. What a retard. He telling everybody how Trump's not his president. Now he's all for all these anti-Trump rallies and everything, and then gets a little water there and needs some help, and the first thing he does is come crawling to Trump and say, "Oh, I need help. I need some money. I need a loan." Yeah, well. As bad as I would like to say, pound sand and not giving the money, the right thing to do, and I think would probably go a long ways towards making Trump look even better than he already does, and that would be to, you know, set some parameters on that money and say, go, here you go. You know, this is what it must be spent on, and I want receipts and progress reports, and here you go. Go ahead and take care of your problem. That would be the right thing to do, but anyway. This is a very short one. I'll go ahead and get it out of the way. This apparently, and I've looked here several places, and it may be true. So the new bill proposed by Representative Matthew Hill in District 7 in Washington County, Tennessee, gives immunity to anyone who runs over protesters that are blocking traffic in other thoroughfares. I'm all for that. It sounds like a wonderful thing. I'm still a little up in the air about whether it's real or not, but it appears to be. All right. Well, that was a quick hour. Went by pretty fast. We'll be back Wednesday, and we've got, as a matter of fact, let me look at the calendar. We've got Wednesday, Friday. Okay, it's going to be Friday the 3rd, I believe. No, the 5th, I think, is when the time changes. So it won't change for you. What it does mean is I'll do the show an hour earlier so I can keep it the same for everybody else, since you guys haven't got your states in order yet and got rid of that stupid daylight savings time. So starting the 1st of next month, on the 5th, we'll be on the same time as on the Pacific time zone. So that means we'll get to bed a little earlier, but we have to start the show a little earlier. That means Amy's going to have to be. So that will mean something for you folks in Arizona. Is in order for us to keep up with all the rest of these people that still believe in daylight savings time, still believe that adding an hour, taking an hour off one end of the day and putting it on the other is going to make it longer, we have to make our sacrifice and start our show a little earlier. Anyway, it's not that bad. I may decide even to go back and do 2 hours again. That was it was the time changing that got us to 1 hour. I've suffered through this for ever since I've been in Arizona, since 2011, first 2012. So it's been 5 years we've gone through this. Never get used to it, I reckon. All right, well, I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.